You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm your host, Kathleen Schock. 2.5 months ago, 4 members of the Hmong community died in a mass shooting in Fresno. As the victims' loved ones continue to process their feelings of anger and loss, the Fresno Center has provided counseling and support programs. Now it's expanding its efforts, thanks to an $80,000 grant from Kaiser Permanente. I spoke with psychologist Dr. Gia Zhang from the Fresno Center, along with licensed marriage and family therapist Anna Boydston from Kaiser Permanente, about the ongoing work to help the community heal. Dr. Zhang, I'd like to start with you.
Yes, sure.
There's a stigma associated with mental health across many communities. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, how does that stigma manifest in the Southeast Asian community?
Well, mental health stigma in our community is a really big thing, to the point where it's across generations as well, too, and to the point where we don't really have a word for mental health, and we just have to describe the symptoms that are associated with mental health. Mm. And anyone that you come in contact or you work with that, you know, has mental health, other people around it will kind of just want to back away from that. Mm. That is something that in all culture, for whatever reason, people have not had the opportunity to really work with such individuals and really to study, to know really what's going on. And so that's the reason why there's that big old stigma in our community.
Mm-hmm. And Anna, what do you see in terms of the stigma in addressing these issues?
Yes, thank you. So I do believe that the stigma is still very, very present and very much something we still have to tackle and address, you know, as a community and as providers. You know, having worked with different populations and communities, this stigma is not certainly just something that affects the Southeast Asian community, but just other cultures and communities, and unfortunately it does still pose as a barrier for obtaining services, being open to services, and again just that confusion and misconception about what we do and how we can help as providers and professionals. So the education and the outreach, I think, is definitely something that we still need to provide and look at. However we can do that, and whatever means we can provide that.
We know that the Hmong community in general is in the aftermath of an absolutely horrific, tragic event. Dr. Zhang, can you speak to how the community is coping, how they're managing, and the work that you're doing to help?
Yes. First of all, I do want to thank the Valley Public Radio for allowing the Fresno Center for this opportunity to share about our plans to help address this mass shooting in the community. I also wanted to thank Kaiser Permanente of Northern California, their foundations, for supporting this effort. This is a tremendous and very big task, and with such a very diverse community like Fresno. But we understand that every little things that we do definitely will help keep our community safer and make Fresno a better place for us to call home. Also, I wanted to thank the community leaders, the community, our law enforcement, DAs, our elected officials, and anyone who contributed their time, their thinking, love, and financial to giving these victims' family the support, and also for really getting these people who caused this and bring them to justice. So just on behalf of the organization, the Hmong community, I wanted to thank everyone for that. Like I said, the Fresno Center is a nonprofit organization that started to serve, the refugee originally who first came here in the early 1980s into the 1991s. And then later now we have evolved to being able to serve a larger community, those who are underserved and unserved in a variety of capacities. And so our mission really is to assist individuals in becoming self-sufficient, self-fulfilled, and productive members of the community while fostering cultural preservation and promoting cross-cultural understanding. And so the purpose of our grant with the Kaiser Foundation is mainly twofold. One is to provide support in the form of assistance, linkages, consultations, and direct mental health services to the victims and their loved ones. And at the same time, what we hope to do is to educate our community at large about mass shooting through community events and also workshops.
Mm-hmm. So I feel silly asking this question because grief is so individual and it's so difficult to generalize. That being said, can you speak to how the community is doing and the extent to which they are engaging with you and taking advantage of these resources?
Yes. And so for us at the Fresno Center, we have professional bilingual bicultural mental health clinicians like psychiatrists, psychologists, other licensed mental health professionals, counselors, and case managers that have been providing needed mental health services at our Living Well Center to support all the victim families. So imagine your family escaping death from the Vietnam War, then to survive swimming on bamboo raft in tire tubes across the largest river in Southeast Asia, and then to escape illnesses in the refugee camps, and then to only be murdered while enjoying a great time watching Sunday night football with all of your friends and loved ones, right? Mm-hmm. So many of these families and everyone, they're saying, how can this be? This is not right. This is not fair. Mm-hmm. If I knew this was going to happen, I should have done something more heroic and die, like, you know, protecting people during the Vietnam War or swimming, saving someone crossing the Mekong River. This is the kind of anger, the frustration, something that they don't really understand what's going on. Why in America that this is happening? We have gone through much worse thing, the Vietnam War, all of this stuff, than to just, on a quiet day, to just then have this happen. So it not only impact just the family, the community, and the Hmong community, but I think the whole larger community as a whole, and eventually also across the United States when it goes on national news and stuff like that. So, yes, it has a very tragic and traumatic impact on the community, and it'll take a while for everyone to be able to recover from it. And even if they recover from it, there's always going to be a scar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anna, can you speak to what I would imagine is a unique part of the grief process when you lose a loved one in such a shocking way, in such a tragic way as the victims of the mass shooting in November did?
Yes. You know, and I would just like to start by again thanking Dr. Zhang for just educating us and informing us about Fresno Center's mission and goals, and Kaiser is definitely in support of that, and for that perspective as well of what that impact must have been like, you know, for the families that were simply enjoying themselves at an event and have this shocking, tragic incident happen. Having said that, I think it is important for us to be aware of the different things that could start to happen to the families and the individuals that were present for that event or that lost a loved one. You speak specifically, you know, to grief, wondering what that could bring up. You know, if we're speaking specifically about children and adolescents, you know, things that we want to be kind of aware of and looking for are going to be those significant changes in emotional and behavioral functioning. You know, we have to also remember that shock that Dr. Zhang talked about and that you mentioned might not play out right away after an incident like this. This might sometimes play out days or weeks or even months later. And again, it's important for us not to overlook, you know, and I think what could possibly happen in some cases is if we don't see that drastic change right away, perhaps in our mind we might think, oh, okay, everything's okay. Then you know, we can move forward. But just to be aware that we might see some of those emotional and behavioral changes. Grief can come in the forms of depression, anger, significant levels of anxiety. You might start seeing changes in school functioning, grades going down, nightmares, just to name a few, you know. And for many of us, children and adults, grief isn't always something easy to talk about. And so there could be for some of these individuals just the nature of holding it within and not releasing or sharing that and which that in and of itself can cause further distress, just not having, you know, feeling that you have an outlet to to share or process those feelings. And for adults, you know, a lot of those symptoms and things that I bring up as things that can occur from grief can also be very present for adults as well. Some of those changes, perhaps, you know, in our work that we do, just personally, how we interact, you know, grief can affect us in many ways, and as can shock. Mm-hmm. So,
absolutely, yeah. Yes.
And then in working with all these families, we see this grief cycle, right? We see a lot of people being in denial, mm-hmm. right? And being in anger, having bargain, mm-hmm. to the point where many of them now moving on to other stages like depression. And when is it that we will be able to help them to really get to that last stage of acceptance? Mm-hmm. And so for the adults and for all of the children, all these different stages, they're going back and forth asking why. Why? Mm-hmm. Right? And why is it me? What did I do wrong? Right? And so all this anger and denial eventually turned into this depression. Mm-hmm. And our job is really to be able to work with the families and hopefully get to this stage of acceptance.
Mm-hmm. What does that work look like? And I'll open up this question. Mm-hmm. What are the kind of resources that are being offered?
Wonderful.
Yes, at the center, like I said before, we have a variety of professionals, all the way from medical doctors to your caseworkers that are providing supportive services, linkage, whatever they need. It is our job to be able to link them to it or to provide that service. If they need direct mental health service, if they need medications, you have a Hmong psychiatrist that will be able to sit down with them and say, let me try to understand beyond what you're telling me what's going on. You have a psychologist who could sit there, and if assessments are needed, we'll be able to assess that. And then you have licensed mental health clinicians who speaks the language that could sit down with them and listen empathetically and genuinely and being present and then hoping that then we can help them to move on to the next stage, to make them realize that this kind of things just doesn't happen to them. It could happen to anybody, and that you have to see the bigger picture.
And then, Anna, I understand that the grant also is helping to fund wellness classes, meditation, yoga, other practices that could be of value in supporting this process.
Absolutely. And you know, Kaiser definitely wants to be part of the support network for the community. And you know, quite frankly, this event has affected not only the Southeast Asian community, but Fresno as a whole, as a greater area, has been impacted by this.
So. Are you hearing from people? Are they coming to you talking about this event? I mean, it sent such shockwaves through the entire community.
Absolutely. It definitely is something that I think is marked in our memory of a recent tragic event. I think as the timing as well of not that there's any time that would be better or worse, but the timing of it, you know, coming right around the holidays, right around the time when families get together, mm-hmm. celebrate, practice traditions, the impact has definitely been strong, you know, around those immediate following, you know, days and weeks. And I think, you know, now the impact at whatever stage it is still just finding a way to connect with the folks and to provide outreach and to encourage, you know, families and individuals to utilize whatever resources are available. You know, I certainly appreciate the Fresno Center and the rich services that they offer. And again, but it could be something, as you say, yoga, spirituality, mental health. You know, Kaiser has a child and adult psychiatry departments that can serve individuals for individual therapy. We have psychiatric services. Those who choose to go that route and utilize the services, again, I think the most important is that folks are utilizing whatever's helpful to them, mm-hmm. to cope and mm-hmm. to come, as Dr. Zhang said, mm-hmm. to some place of acceptance.
Yeah. And on that note, we have a save the date. We have a Fresno Community Healing Sessions that we're planning to have this February 21st and 22nd at Fresno Pacific Universities, where we wanted to invite the community to come in and to just do yoga and have mindfulness sessions and reflections and that kind of stuff. And we're probably going to announce more, but this is really the beginning of how we are helping to heal the community, how we're helping to educate and make the community much more aware of this kind of tragic.
So, Dr. Zhang, you spoke before about the differences between adults and children in processing and coming to acceptance, as you said, with this event, this tragedy. I'm wondering if you could speak among adults about generational differences that you're seeing. Mm-hmm. Are older adults in general processing this or having feelings that maybe are different than what the younger generation is?
Yes, definitely. I think for the adults, the impact is much more stronger for them. You know, because like I said, of what they have gone through to just then come to witness such a senseless murder like this. Whereas most children, unless you are really the family that's directly impacted, many of the children are really getting a better idea of what's really going out in the community and that it's not really safe and that we need to be more careful. But I think when you're talking to a lot of the adults, this is something that, you know, it's going to just etch in their heart. And it's going to be something that's going to be a long time for them to really heal. Mm-hmm. Because in our community, especially in the Hmong community of Southeast Asia, everybody is related to each other in so many different ways. And so once something like this happens, you have this connection from one to another, to another, and to another.
Mm-hmm. And what are you seeing in the work that you do? I mean, I guess what advice do you have for maybe the people that are listening who are still feeling impacted by the mass shooting or, I mean, my goodness, are going through any kind of personal tragedy that they might be having? There's a lot of conversation about the lack of resources to support mental health healing in the community. It seems like both Kaiser and the Fresno Center are places that are helping to fill in that gap. What would you say to people in terms of how to go about accessing the help that they need?
Thank you. Such an important question. I think the importance is starting with discussions and just being able to talk and identify that there is a need. I think being able to start with whatever's most comfortable, whether that's somebody in the school setting, if it's a child, whether that's, you know, a colleague, a friend, a family, and just start the outreach from there. You know, Fresno, I think, has come a long way as far as mental health outreach and awareness. And I think just the community does offer, you know, events and workshops. Kaiser has a very extensive, as I mentioned, mental health department. You know, again, you know, thinking of the traditions and the cultures, you know, a lot of the services are geared and meant to be, you know, very, very culturally sensitive to meet folks' needs and to help that sense of comfort, you know, to come, you know, to somebody and accept the help, which often can be the hardest step for many folks, is just crossing, you know, that barrier of reaching out and asking for help.
Great. Well, thank you so much for the work that you're doing and for taking the time to be here with us today. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.